Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
She had been a very good ally for many years. She had a good conservative record. And I think what happens is these people go to Tallahassee and they go native. She's doing the bidding of the leadership and the staff. She's not doing what you sent them there to do. You did not elect her to undo our conservative reforms in higher education. Because I'm confident if she ran on that, you wouldn't have elected her in the first place.
So, interesting. Of course, Governor DeSantis came to town yesterday and what we weren't quite sure was going to be the topic. And it turns out to have been a defend my wife, defend Hope Florida, promote me, distract from the hearing that Alex Andrade was doing in Tallahassee at the same time in the healthcare finance or budget committee meeting. No, we'll get to that tomorrow. That was big news that he was hoping to, I think my read is he was hoping to distract from all of that. But attacking Michelle Salzman, that she's gone native, she wasn't elected to do the things that she's doing to push back against his education agenda. I don't read this bill as pushing back against his agenda. I read this bill as correcting a dramatic overstep, a jump the shark that the governor has done when it came to the UWF Board of Trustees that he has put in. And I think the local community, and, you know, he says she's not, representing your local community. No, she is very much representing the local community, almost all of whom were frustrated and angry about Scott Yenor and others and the way this was all done to UWF and the feeling that the university is great, doesn't need your fixes. And by the way, I have supported the governor on his fixes to higher education in general. I agree with them, especially the one about, you know, giving a performance review to tenured professors. Amen, brother. God, tenure is the enemy of good content in education. And so, thank God, great plan. But just because you do A, B, C, D, and E well doesn't mean you can't screw up F. And he screwed up F real bad. And now he's acting like, oh, you all aren't conservatives because you're opposing me on my screw up with F. No, sir. You just got F wrong. That's all it is to it. Okay. Oh, and then I love this line about how, you know, well, she wasn't elected to undo all of these things. Sir, you weren't elected to radically change in a hostile takeover of the University of West Florida. You didn't campaign on that. And had you, you would have lost Escambia County, I think. I mean, it's already bad enough. You know, this kind of the, I don't know, somebody who's not from here to come here and lecture us on a university that we all love, you know, because he did many times. You know, there's going to be big changes coming to UWF.
University of West Florida, buckle up. You're going to see a lot of changes there for the better. It's going to be, I mean, how does like the most conservative part of the state have some of these like some of the most liberal programs in the state? It doesn't make any sense. So the times are a change in there too. So you're going to see that.
They don't. I've looked. They have some, but in the sort of the scale of left-leaning universities, I mean, they're mild by comparison. And it doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement. And I would say they're no bastion of great conservatism. But a university is supposed to be a place where lots of different ideas interact and where you're supposed to get exposed to a lot of stuff. And he keeps doing these sort of, you know, straw man claims about, well, you know, zombie studies and Marxists and communists and all this stuff. And well, sir, maybe at a lot of schools. I don't think it's true here. And I have looked. There may be some. But again, UWF doesn't really, it's not a liberal arts school primarily, right? It's a nursing school and business and cyber. And it's, I say this as a compliment, it's great at very technical training. It's, you know, sort of like it does the mission of the non-liberal arts stuff primarily. You know, there's liberal arts stuff there, but that's not the primary thing that people go there for. Engineering, you know, it's a great engineering school. So it doesn't need the fix, sir, and yet you're focusing on it. Anyway, so comes here to attack her. Also comes, and some of these attacks are really misplaced. Okay, this is all about HB 1321, the higher education bill. I told you a little while ago the primary components of it. It has to do with things like putting in term limits on a bunch of people related to education. It restricts the board of trustees from the university or the state college from, they have to be U.S. citizens and then also either reside in Florida or have graduated from that school. I'm actually going to talk to Michelle a little bit about that in 30 minutes because I have a suggestion on that. But one of the co-sponsors on the bill is a woman named Anna Eskamani, who is a very liberal. I actually like Anna. I think she's a very useful contributor to the Florida legislature. I disagree with her 99% of the time, okay? But that doesn't mean she's not useful. She's a smart lady. She's just very, very left, okay? And here's what he says about this yesterday.
He is proposing a bill co-sponsored by the most flamboyantly left-wing Democrat in the entire Florida House of Representatives, is a co-sponsor.
That's true.
So do you think the far left is going to co-sponsor bills that are going to further our mission to make sure that we don't allow our universities to be leftist bastions of indoctrination? Of course not. That liberal representative is doing it because she knows this will kneecap the reforms that we have put in place and we continue to build on.
Well, that's one interpretation. Let me give you an alternate interpretation. I mean, one interpretation is a liberal like Anna Eskamani would only sign on to this bill if it was going to undo all of the good reforms that the governor had put in. That's one possibility. The only reason a liberal would co-sponsor a bill that Michelle Salzman sponsors is because it's truly a liberal bill and Michelle's either too dumb to know it or she's doing the bidding of this evil cabal of secret rhinos in Tallahassee. That's kind of his argument yesterday. Okay, that's one possibility. Let me give you another possibility. You screwed up so bad that a right Republican and a left Democrat would craft a very specific bill to solve for future similar screw-ups by you or any other governor, and it's got such widespread bipartisan support that you can get somebody like Michelle Salzman and Anna Eskamani to agree about it. I mean, it used to be we thought that bipartisanship was actually kind of a good thing. You know, we used to think that, and now it's being used as a criticism. That's my take. I read the bill. I'd sponsor that bill. It's not about undoing the reforms because it doesn't undo any of the reforms. Not really. Anyway, so we'll come back to this in a second. It was an amazing speech. It was filled with logical errors, filled with fallacies, filled with bad reasoning. It was, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, it was a PR hissy fit. It was a meltdown. The governor has lost his way. And we'll talk more about this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Rolling accident free right now. Good news on that. Looks like Highway 90, 98 are looking good along with I-10 and I-110. I'm not seeing any delays to hamper your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, he makes it like he's the only one who did all these reforms. The legislature passed these reforms. Like the, I mean, even if they were his ideas. His effort to, it's just, it was weird. And I kept watching it thinking, surely this is going to get better. You know, surely there's going to come a time where he's going to, you know, become a little bit more reasonable. And here, I'll give one more. Anyway, just like I said, kept going on. Here goes.
Even right in this legislation that the governor and the governor's office can have no communications involving who gets selected to be university presidents. Imagine that.
That is part of the bill.
They bring some communist in to be the president of a university, and I'm just supposed to sit there and twiddle my thumbs? That's not how I roll. I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm not going to let that happen to this state. So this bill.
Yeah, we're just wildly hiring communists to be presidents of UWF now. That's the thing. That's a straw man argument. But also, how do university presidents get selected? It's the Board of Trustees. Who puts people on the Board of Trustees? Oh, the governor, still under her bill. They just have to have either graduated there or live in Florida. You know, you still get to pick the Board of Trustees. The Board of Governors still gets to pick trustees. And then there's a couple of automatic bids from the, you know, faculty senate and from the student body. None of that changes. You just can't pick nuts from out of town that have no connection to the local community in a university that is, by every objective measure, winning. Stop trying to fix a thing that's not even close to broken. And then some of the arrogance in, listen, I love the governor. I voted for the governor every time I had a chance. I was, oh my God, thank God he was our governor during COVID and not Andrew Gillum. And I supported him for president. I would still, I think, out of the field. But he is forcing me to reconsider with some of his recent behaviors. I mean, really, this is, it's becoming really bad.
But you say, why would the Florida House of Representatives, you have almost a 3-1 supermajority, which, oh, by the way, they didn't have that supermajority until I came along, and yet they are weaponizing that to try to attack us, our administration, and make no mistake, when they're attacking me, they're attacking you.
They didn't have a supermajority until you came along? The current is 87 to 33. That's 86, I think, because Rudman's not been placed yet. But 87 to 33. That's strong. In 2022, it was 85 to 35. That's strong. Remember, they picked up two Democrats in the last, you know, they converted, okay? In 2020, it was 78 to 42. In 2018, it was 73 to 37. In 2016, it was 79 to 41. And in 2014, before he was ever a candidate, it was 81 to 39. You're responsible for the supermajority, sir? Tell it to somebody who can't look things up. Just, that's what I thought this whole time. Like, again and again and again, bad arguments, fallacious reasoning, not factual, not accurate.
So we all know that. Something is rotten in the Florida House of Representatives. These people are not doing what you said, what they told you that they would do.
I mean, I just don't see it. Instead, you're doing something you never told us you were going to do, and you have massive community backlash over it.
But here's the thing. Leadership's not cost-free.
Agreed.
When you lead, you have to face consequences of leading. And so if you're willing to stand up as a representative and reflect the will of your constituents and follow through on your campaign promises, and that means you got to stand up to the House leadership and the staff and all these people that think they can boss you around, you may lose a committee assignment. You may have a project deep six.
Or you might, if you stand up for your constituents and do what the community wants, run the risk of getting the wrath of the governor who comes to your hometown to scold you in your backyard and not invite you to the event to even do it face-to-face. Like, exclude you from the event. Oh, my God, it's so bad. Just the whole thing was so bad.
I have no problem. If they run and tell you that their platform is to undo our conservative reforms in higher education, you vote for them, you know, what am I going to do on that? I may disagree with it, but it is what it is. That wasn't what they ran on. They all ran saying they were going to support conservative policies. They all said they were going to help build off the success of our Florida First policies and the Florida model. And what they're doing now is the opposite of what they told you they would do. They're trying to sabotage the success because they have a political agenda. These are folks that you know, are not doing what they promised the voters they would do. And that is unacceptable.
John, we've covered the governor a lot. Do you recall the governor ever campaigning on gutting the Board of Trustees at UWF and making radical changes to UWF and saying, you know, hang on, you're going to see a lot, buckle up, you'll see a lot of change. Do you remember that ever?
Never.
Okay, so he's saying they campaigned one way and then governed a different way. And if that's true, it's a criticism of him failing to campaign on something and then doing this weird, unexpected, undesired takeover of UWF. So, yeah, just the smear campaign on and oh, and yeah, anybody who disagrees with him, anybody who criticizes him is suddenly aligned with the liberals and the cabal of evildoers in the House.
This is just blows my mind. These guys in the Florida House of Representatives, you got a cabal of them in the leadership. They are colluding with liberal media and the Democratic Party in Florida to try to smear, to manufacture smears against Hope Florida, against me, against the First Lady. And what I've told people is, I've been doing this for 6 years. Every single time I roll out of bed, I face attacks from liberal media and the Democrats. That's nothing new.
Okay, and that's true. But just because liberal media is criticizing you doesn't mean that you're right. They could actually be doing good journalism and asking the question, why did $10 million get settled sideways on this thing with Centene? Why did that money wind up in the hands of Hope Florida and then wind up in the hands of two political two intermediate organizations and then wind up largely in the hands of Political Action Committee overseen by your now Attorney General and former Chief of Staff? Like, answer that question. Oh, and by the way, listen, just as a general note, okay, he came here and he went to PSC, not to UWF. He had a controlled audience of people who were allowed in to support what he was saying, you know, friendly. He didn't challenge the people at, I mean, what if he'd have gone to UWF and done this? That would have been kind of the honorable thing to do. And in the speech, he didn't defend the UWF board stuff. He didn't even address it. Not one time. No acknowledgement. Like, that would have been the leadership thing to do. Because, again, leadership has consequences. Do the right thing. Stand up. Say it when it's inconvenient. Okay, you've already manufactured a fake favorable crowd. This is coming from a guy who loves DeSantis, okay? Me. You've manufactured a fake favorable crowd on the public dime at the wrong university, the wrong college, and you don't even have the guts to address the real issue that everybody's talking about. Instead, you talk about all these peripheral smoky things. Sir, come and answer the question. Were you right to nominate all these people? Is this a good slate of trustees? Why is it that you can't have people that graduated the school or live in Florida as the trustee? I mean, like, he didn't address any of that. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free this morning. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. No delays on 98 or 90 or even Highway 29, which is great. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let her rip. Here we go. Trying to beat 95 cents. Oh, yes, it went all the way around. Hey, look at this $1 coming down here for Linda. And... oh!
Is It's like your entire childhood captured in one 16-second sound clip. Because how many times you're like, uh-oh.
Oh, a dollar.
And then when it did, it was so exciting.
It was.
Somebody won their showcase by less than the appropriate amount to win both. I like all of that.
Without going over.
Now, of course, that's Bob Barker, but we did lose Wink Martindale. Oh. Passed away. Of course, early friend of Elvis. Tic-tac-toe is what he was most famous for. I thought it was interesting that, he was really winning, I guess, in sort of the game show industry world or whatever you want to call it. And there was a couple of shows that all launched like right on the same day, which I thought was kind of fascinating. And then Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune ruined it all. You had Gambit. Had been winning on NBC. Price is Right, Gambit, and Joker's Wild all came out at the same time, same day. And then Wheel of Fortune destroyed everybody, and that was it. He had to change and come back with tic-tac-toe eventually. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, three people were arrested. Several were ejected last night from a town hall held by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia.
I'm glad they got thrown out. That's exactly what I wanted to see happen. And this is, Democrats have protested in violent ways for years.
One man was drug out by several police officers. Police say two people had to be tased. Greene used much of the event to praise policies of President Trump.
All right, thanks so much, David. Coming up in a moment, what did the representative who was scolded at the promotional campaign stop yesterday, what does Michelle Salzman have to say? Well, we'll talk to her in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A federal judge says she's going to order sworn testimony by Trump administration officials over the failure to return Kilmer Abrego Garcia after he was mistakenly deported to El Salvador. Garcia's attorney, Rena Gandhi.
The government themselves arguably has not acted in good faith, has not provided in their status reports any meaningful steps of what they've taken, which is what the judge confirmed today, that they did not do that.
Maryland Senator Chris Von Hollen is going to travel to El Salvador today. Jury selection now complete in the Karen Reed murder retrial.
Reed described the people who could decide her fate as
truthful, and they were questioned thoroughly, so I have confidence.
Prosecutors say Reed killed O'Keefe by hitting him with her SUV as she left the party. The defense says she's being framed.
That's Fox's Grinnell Scott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got clear skies. It looks like a beautiful morning, 54 degrees. And we'll check our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis says the state House of Representatives is trying to sabotage the changes he's made to higher education in the state. He made a stop yesterday in Pensacola, Pensacola State College, to talk about HB 1321.
So this bill that they're doing is absolutely designed to unravel all the success we've had in higher education. And look, we've done more than any other state by far, but we got a lot more to do.
And the governor singled out bill sponsor, District 1 Representative Michelle Salzman. He said she's been an ally for years, but he believes she's being pushed by party leadership to run this bill. He did not mention the recent controversy about his changes to the UWF's Board of Trustees, but he did tell the University of West Florida to, quote, buckle up, changes are coming. Michelle Salzman will be on with Andrew here in just a few minutes to discuss this issue. A 28-year-old Okaloosa County man has been convicted of attempting to solicit a parent to allow him to have sex with a child. Michael Todd Rana was convicted last week. Prosecutors say he reached out to an undercover officer that was posing as the father of a 10-year-old girl. Rana reportedly wanted to pay for sex with the child. The crime was investigated by the Internet Crimes Against Children Division of the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office. Rana is due in court for a sentencing on May 22nd. A teacher at Tate High School could be named America's favorite teacher by Reader's Digest. Ninth grade English and AP literature teacher Kristen Maum. She made the quarterfinals of the contest, currently ranking first. If she wins, she'd get $25,000 and a trip to Hawaii. The school would get an appearance from Bill Nye, the science guy. Well, the state now one step closer to executing a man who killed a woman in Hillsborough County. Governor DeSantis signing the death warrant yesterday for Glenn Rogers. He was sentenced to death 28 years ago for stabbing Tina Marie Cribbs in a motel room in 1995. He's now 62 years old. Rogers would be given a lethal injection May 15th. It'll be the fifth execution in Florida this year. Changes headed to Hurlburt Field. The Air Force announcing yesterday they've relieved Chief Master Sergeant Anthony Green of his duties. The reason cited was a loss in confidence in his ability to fulfill the duties. No details on that were released. Green was the command chief of the Air Force Special Ops Command. He was the top enlisted airman at Hurlburt. He was stationed there for less than 2 years. Senator Rick Scott applauding what he's calling a major win for Florida's farmers. He expressed his support yesterday for the Trump administration's decision to terminate the 2019 tomato suspension agreement. Scott says that agreement failed to protect American producers from unfair foreign trade practices, and he said it allowed Mexico's tomato exports to flood the domestic market. He says the tomatoes were grown with child and forced labor to keep prices artificially cheap, and he said that made it impossible for local producers to compete. 635 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. Starting to see some minor delays just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge on 98 going eastbound. About a 5 to 7 minute delay associated there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 74 degrees in the afternoon for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 53. For Thursday, beautiful sunny weather, high near 76 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63 degrees. Keeping the sunshine around on Friday with a high near 79 and a low near 66. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 54 degrees in Pensacola. We've got 53 in Gulf Breeze, 47 reported in Milton. The sun shining across the area. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors awaited retail sales data and remained concerned after an aggressive bond market sell-off last week. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield fell less than a basis point to 4.315%. The U.S. retail sales report out later this morning should look solid as consumers are still spending money. Economists polled by Dow Jones anticipate a 1.2% increase on the month, up from a 0.2% climb in February. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Japan's chief trade negotiator will visit the United States this week for talks aimed at convincing President Trump to remove tariff measures against the East Asian country. Economic Revitalization Minister Roisei Akazawa will be in Washington from today until Friday. Futures are moderately lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 155, the NASDAQ down 8, the S&P 500 down 9. That's your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit izervay.com. That's I-Z-E-R-V-A-Y.com.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinnair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinnair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinnair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinnair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
House of Representatives today, they are proposing a bill to undo this success. And this bill is proposed. I don't think she was the one that wrote it. I think this was the speaker told her to run it. But from Escambia County, Michelle Salzman. And, you know, she had been a very good ally for many years. She had had a good conservative record. And I think what happens is these people go to Tallahassee and they go native.
Okay. All I can say is wow. Watching this press conference, this, junket, I don't know what you want to call it, this emotional meltdown that Governor DeSantis had yesterday in Pensacola. Joining us now, we have the aforementioned gone native, liberal colluder, sellout, co-opter, hater of all things conservative, Michelle Salzman, state representative for District 1. Michelle, dear, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yes. Thanks. I'm surprised you let me on here. I'm so liberal.
I know. It's scary. Probably I am now a raging liberal because I would dare to criticize the Holy One, Governor DeSantis. How dare I? I must hate reforms in higher education, too, as a former university professor. You know, so. All right. Let's start with the bare bones questions. Where did this legislation come from? Was it imposed upon you? Are you too dumb as a female legislator to understand the actual legislation?
Yes. Yes, I'm so dumb. I love to be mansplained. Bring it. No, fun fact, many months back when all of this started happening and we did the joint letter from the Jewish caucus in the House, the chief of staff for the speaker came to me and, or he called me to him actually, it goes the other way. And he was like, tell me what's going on. You know, tell me what your thoughts are. What is your community feeling? And, you know, we just talked through it. And he said, well, we do have options, but to be honest with you, they will make some very important people angry. And I said, really? And he said, yes, very important people will be mad at you. Very wealthy people, very influential people. And I said, huh, hold on, I don't even know any of these people. I just started learning the process of how the Board of Governors are chosen and the Board of Trustees and University Board of Trustees and all the different levels. And so I was just like, I looked at Matt Ball and I said, but Matt, they don't pay my mortgage. And he just looks at me, you know, questioning. And I said, and if they have to come into my office and tell me they're important, are they really important? And he just started laughing. He goes, I thought you'd say that. So that was the beginning of what you see in front of you today. And I'm just grateful that I've got a leadership that gets it and understands that we have an issue in our community. And, you know, the bill we did a couple of years ago that put the initial search process in the shade was extremely controversial as it was. We barely got that thing passed because, you know, people were like, why are you going to put this in the shade? We like open government. We want the people to see where the money's going and how they're selecting people. So it got a lot of pushback even 2 years ago. So all we're doing is just unwinding that and then putting some term limits. And I don't know, maybe you should live in the state of Florida.
or be a graduate of the school, which I like that. I actually have one suggestion. I know the bill is still in formation. My one suggestion is I don't want to rule out somebody, a member or two on the board who might be really good candidates who might live somewhere else and might not have gone to the school or might have graduated, you know, because like maybe somebody went to PSC for 2 years, didn't graduate, but they went on to UWF, you know, they don't hold a degree and, you know, that kind of thing. I wonder if there'd be a way to add that this is a preference and no more than one or no more than two board members could fall outside the parameters. You know, because, like, I'll be honest, I like Adam Kissel. I think Adam Kissel is a good board member. I know a lot of people are worked up about him. I would actually hate to lose him on being disqualified for those reasons. I don't know. Just a thought is maybe that would be a way to make the bill a little bit more broad in terms of who would be allowed. But still, you know, 11 whatever ought to be within those parameters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And we went back and forth with ideas on how we could address that specific element. You know, folks are really the big shtick is the cone of silence. That's what got the governor mad.
Oh, sure.
He was tolerating the bill until that. You know, no commentary on social media, no feedback at all. But the moment that amendment went in, that was the beginning of the end. And he was very upset about that. The other thing that I've heard complaints about was the Form 6, the requirement for the board members to disclose their financial information.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Like, why would you need? Why wouldn't you want the Board of Governors to have their financial disclosures? Like, that seems pretty obvious to me. It's funny.
Well, I mean, I feel like everything in the bill is common sense, and it's certainly conservative. I mean, if I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I love this. This is exactly where I want to land. Hey, by the way, can we do this too? And I'm feeling that excited about it. And I'm over here carrying Second Amendment bills and other super term limits. And I mean, clearly it matches my mindset. If you read what the bill does and you look at what I do in the legislature, it perfectly aligns, which tells you right there that leadership didn't make me carry this bill. Clearly, it's a bill that matches with my mindset, and I'm pretty sure I'm conservative.
I have heard that.
Even if I'm not, Andrew. Yeah.
It's still the right bill for the constituency. Yeah, hey, Michelle, hang on for just a second. I need to pause you for just a second, and I know you got a bail here in a couple of minutes, so we'll try to get as much as we can. John Pickens has traffic on the fives real quick.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. And by the way, the principle of having either graduates and or at least Floridians is kind of a local government thing. Like, let's have government closest to the people. I wanted to ask you specifically, there were some weird things around this event yesterday. One of those is I have heard it reported that your people were excluded. And, you know, courage, he says, is to stand up to the people who are going to, you know, disagree with you. The room is packed of his own supporters. He doesn't let opposition in. In fact, I've heard from B. Thomas, this like, I love Mama B. She is the best. And she was running like, you know, Black citizens for Trump, Black citizens for DeSantis, and she was excluded. Like, how do you exclude Mama B from a political event? But is that true? Your folks were excluded?
I, Yes. Usually when a press conference happens anywhere in the Panhandle, I get first notice and they ask me to help get people there.
Right.
But I heard about it through other people. I got a copy of a text message. So then I reached out to DeSantis' team and I said, oh, I usually get first notice. No comments back. And then but I sent it out to everybody and said, hey, it's time to go. You know, don't forget to go. Make sure you show the support and things like that. And so I had at least a couple dozen people go in RSVP, and they got the response email that says you're in, or I've got it, or received, or whatever. And so they were confirmed to be attendees. But when they showed up, they knew, you know, just based off of other press conferences and stuff, they knew who was and wasn't with me for the most part. A few of my people snuck in. I think that they don't, or maybe they do realize that, you know, I am a huge community advocate. So I have a lot of people that love and support me, that we go around, we do food distributions, you know, coat drives, things like that. So we do a lot together. There's a lot of us, so it's hard to keep track of who's who. But I had a few people that made it into the event, but a lot of them were turned right away. I got pictures and videos. They were texting me. Mama B was just so embarrassed, because she goes in there and she had the confirmation. She's standing right next to Brad Drake, former state house rep, who was completely blowing all of the people off because he knew what was going to happen. Nobody else did. I mean, we had a feeling he wasn't going to be nice, but I didn't realize he was going to go, you know, burn it down.
Right.
I've told people recently, you know, if he thought for a moment he had a chance to go against a Trump endorsement for his wife for governor, I think he just sealed his fate in the Panhandle. I don't see anybody in the Pensacola area supporting anything that he does at this point. I mean, what he did yesterday was really, really, it was just poor taste, and it was not well received. But Andrew, I don't know that he knows. I do wonder if his team are just protecting him, you know, and they're making a lot of these decisions. So he goes in there and he starts giving his press conference. And when somebody yells, we love Michelle Salzman, to him, you can see he's like, whoa, you know, wait a minute. I didn't expect that. You know, right. I mean, of course, he knows that I'm loved. But I really and truly question if he really understands the breadth of what he did yesterday. I mean, it's even if he was right on the policy, that was not the way to do it. You don't keep the people out. You don't keep the conversation away from you. So you can just say that you were in Pensacola.
Right.
Bring it. Like,
right.
You should have. Don't protect the audience and then bring Recall Florida from Santa Rosa County in. I mean, busing people into a press conference. Who's the liberal?
Right. Or who's the authoritarian? Who's controlling the environment to make it look a certain
yeah.
way? And
yeah,
and
yeah.
look, I'm not gonna put you on the spot with this, but my God, Joel Rudman is your hired gun? Joel Rudman is your assassin to come in and, you know, you think he's popular here?
Right.
I mean, are you crazy? Like,
right.
do you know
right.
anything about
that? Wouldn't let anybody.
Hey, I do. Michelle,
exactly.
I know you got to run I know you got to run to present a bill. If you don't have time to answer, that's fine. But
I've got about five more minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
one of the criticisms was, you know, this is obviously a liberal bill because you're co-sponsor with Anna Eskamani, who is absolutely one of the most liberal members of the House. Take a shot? I've been responding on this too, but you want to take an explanation for this or respond to that?
I mean, here's the thing. The first thing you have to understand about legislation is a co-sponsor has nothing to do with the legislation. All that says is that she likes the bill, or she likes the intent of the bill, or he. And so there's no writing with, colluding with, help me with. There's none of that. Co-sponsorship doesn't mean anything other than the person that put their name on it is saying, I endorse this message. So, yes, Anna Eskamani endorsed the message, but I would argue she endorsed it mostly because she saw how mad the governor got on Twitter. And the first video was right before the committee that she heard the bill in,
okay.
and she was not on the bill until that. So, I mean, I think bipartisanship is important. 80% of the work that we do in the legislature or more is, you know, unanimous votes minus one or two. And I think
right.
you'll see today that my bill on the floor there'll be like two no votes, but you'll know why those votes are no as soon as you read the names. And so I have no concern about that. And to be honest with you, Andrew, I don't look at legislation and go, is this a conservative principle or a left principle? I look at it and I go, do I relate to this? Does my community relate to this? If so, yes, let's go. So, I mean, I fall very – I'm one of the most conservative lawmakers in Florida, regardless of what Joel Rudman says. And so I don't need to question whether a bill is or isn't conservative. I just go with what I know is right, and it leans in conservatism. But conservatives want transparency in government. Conservatives want term limits. Conservatives don't want people from out of the area telling us what to do. We want people to let us, you know, mind your own business, stay out of my backyard. You know, I mean, it is literally the epitome of a conservative bill, and I hate to see that we're in this battle, but I have Agreed. A great relationship with the governor, Andrew. I'm not changing that. I would hug him if he walked in the room now, and we Same. Would probably have a conversation. But, I mean, he's not my enemy. We're going to do work together and, you know, just keep moving forward.
Michelle Salzman, I know you're on your way to present a bill in committee. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Thanks for the service to the community. And thanks for trying to actually get into the room where they were going to complain and criticize you. And you couldn't get in.
I
appreciate it. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon,
absolutely.
Michelle. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, the governor threatened yesterday he'd just veto the bill. John? Is there a provision in the Constitution for something to happen after the governor vetoes a bill?
I do believe there is.
So it could get overridden by a supermajority of the legislature? This bill, does it seem likely to be able to get an almost unanimous vote and maybe override a veto?
After hearing that, yes.
Yeah, and by the way, my read of the bill and with Anna Eskamani's name on it, yeah, I think so too. So, I mean, you can veto it and then get your hand spanked real hard because anyway. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Still seeing some minor delays as you approach the Windhaven Beach area on 98 eastbound. About a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay through that construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're considering purchasing a home, selling a home, both, you know, often, maybe you're picking up a rental or thinking about it. Maybe you're wanting to get a beach house or thinking about it. Maybe you want to, you know, upsize, downsize, change neighborhoods, you know, whatever. I don't know. Everybody's got different reasons. Before you make the decision, call Christina Leavenworth and ask her for input on helping you make a good decision. Ask her questions, you know, what's happening to the price of homes? How fast are they selling? You know, what's with the economy? Is that changing things? Is there a better time to do this? Is now good? Is June good? Maybe should I wait till September? Can I make money on a rental? I mean, I don't know what your questions are going to be, but we tend to make a decision and then call the expert. How about you call the expert to help her make the decision with you so that you get the best information. Don't get committed to a path that maybe you otherwise wouldn't go down. 175 homes sold a year before last. Last year, 165 homes. She and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty do a lot of business. 723-9158.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, my head feels like it's... like it's gonna have a baby.
It's called a headache.
It has a name?
Oh, man, I am so sorry. I have done a terrible disservice. I have completely failed to mention what we're doing in 10 minutes. DC Reed is going to be here in studio for a one-hour town hall to take your questions. We were so caught up in all of the DeSantis stuff that I completely forgot to promote this, to talk about it, to mention it. So, yes, if you have questions for Mayor D.C. Reeves, he's going to be here for an hour starting, just after the news at 7:10. And then, you know, like I said, we'll answer your questions and go as long as, you have questions, we'll have answers for you. So, sorry I didn't mention it before. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, former President Joe Biden made his first public appearance since leaving office yesterday in Chicago. He said the Trump administration has done a lot of damage in less than 100 days.
It's kind of breathtaking it could happen that soon. They've taken a hatchet to the Social Security Administration, pushing an additional 7,000 employees, 7,000, out the door in that time.
And, of course, the former president blaming the current administration for creating fear among the elderly over potential Social Security cuts and criticizing Elon Musk and Doge.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Again, if you're just tuning in, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves coming here in studio, and he will be here with us for an hour taking your questions over text, 437-1620.
Local news every